uninstalled many other valuable programs such as Romance 9.5 and Personal Attention 6.5, and then installed undesirable programs such as NFL 5.0, NBA 3.0, and Golf Clubs 4.1. Conversation 8.0 no longer runs, and House Cleaning 2.6 simply crashes the system. I've tried running Nagging 5.3 to fix these problems, but it is no longer available. What can I do? Signed, Desperate. Dear Desperate, first, keep in mind, Boyfriend 5.0 is an entertainment package. While Husband 1.0 is an operating system. Please enter the command http://ithoughtyouloveme.html and download Tears 6.2, and don't forget to install Guilt 3.0 update. If that application works as desired, Husband 1.0 should then automatically run the applications Jewelry 2.0 and Flowers 3.5. But remember, overuse of the above application can cause Husband 1.0 to default to Grumpy Silence 2.5, Happy Hour 7.0, and Beer 6.1. Beer 6.1 is a very bad program that will download the snoring loudly beta. Whatever you do, do not install Mother-in-Law 1.0. It runs a virus in the background that will eventually seize control of all your system resources. Also, do not attempt to reinstall a Boyfriend 5.0 program. These are unsupported applications and will crash Husband 1.0. In summary, Husband 1.0 is a great program, but it does have limited memory and cannot learn new applications quickly. You might consider buying additional software to improve memory and performance. We recommend Food 3.0 and Hot Lingerie 7.7. Good luck, thank you for your inquiry, and have a great day. It seems that neither this woman nor this man were prepared for marriage, you think? Last Sunday, we thought about the need for men and women of all ages to be prepared for marriage. I said, every marriage affects everyone around that marriage. The most important decision each person makes in life is whether or not to love and obey God. But the second most important decision in life is who to marry. The person we marry will either encourage or discourage our life with God. As we looked at Genesis chapter 2 and verses 18 through 25, we found that people are prepared for marriage when they are devoted to God and to His standards for marriage, and when they are aware of their need for an appropriate helper. A crucial part of our preparation for marriage is our attitude and our character. The writers of the Proverbs offer a variety of thoughts about men and women in marriage, and those thoughts really set us up in terms of preparation for marriage, because they talk about the kinds of situations that can develop within marriage that relate to character and attitudes. For example, in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 4, we read, "A wife of noble character is her husband's crown, but a disgraceful wife is like decay in his bones." That's serious stuff. Or in Proverbs 19 and verse 14, where it says, "A prudent wife is from the Lord. It's a blessing." But he also writes, "A quarrelsome wife is like a constant dripping." And it can only be imagined that this was something that the writers of the Proverbs had on their minds a lot, because it's mentioned four more times within the Psalms. Men also, though, must pay attention, because Proverbs 26, verse 21 says, "As charcoal to embers and as wood to fire, so is the quarrelsome man for kindling strife. And in Proverbs 27, verse 8, like a bird that strays from its nest is a man who strays from his home. Serious stuff. Perhaps, though, one of the setup passages is found much earlier in Proverbs, in Proverbs chapter 3 and in verses 3 and 4, where the direction from Solomon is to his sons, and he says to them, let love and faithfulness never leave you behind, or never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. The quality of our attitude and our character determine the quality of our marriage. And so the quality of the person we are has to be in place before we even think seriously about marriage. I said last week that it's really easy and natural and normal for us to be thinking in terms of the qualities we want in the person that we want to spend our life with. But we think too little about the kind of qualities that we need to have so that we'll be the kind of person someone will want to marry. We need to be thinking as much or more about the qualities and character of our own lives than about those in the person we're going to marry. But there are two more important things to understand to be prepared for marriage. One of those is found in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24, where it says of marriage, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother. A man will leave his father and mother. That short phrase carries some implications with it. It implies that a man is ready to sever his dependency upon his parents. Not an overgrown boy. This is a man. A man who acts with a level of maturity. It also implies that he is emotionally prepared for marriage and its responsibilities. And it implies that he's developed a skill, that he has a stable job, and that he shows responsibility in his work and in his finances. He shows himself prepared to financially support a wife and a family. Now that may seem a bit of a stretch to you in terms of this little phrase in Genesis 2:24, but consider this. In the New Testament book of Titus, the writer says to Christians, our people must learn to devote themselves to doing what is good in order that they may provide for daily necessities and not live unproductive lives. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8 impresses, if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Taken together, we can say that people are prepared for marriage when they are mature enough to fully leave their parents, to leave them emotionally, to leave them in terms of dependency, to leave them in terms of preparedness to live their own lives without the immediate and full support of their parents. Genesis chapter 24, though, goes on to say, and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. One writer has made this strong statement about marriage. Marriage is the union of man and woman as husband and wife, and is to last as long as they both live on the earth. God's purpose in creating male and female was that they should live together in this permanent relationship as one flesh. They constitute one whole, one biological and social unit. They make one family. They're to be united on all levels of living. Marriage is not merely a physical connection, but a spiritual companionship in which each seeks to promote the other's highest well-being through mutual forbearance and love and prayer. One writer, the name of David Cooper, has emphasized this business that God talks about here without naming in Genesis 2 and verse 24. He talks about the idea that a godly marriage is a covenant and not a contract. Writing about the nature of covenant marriage, he says, a covenant marriage is one based on unconditional love. the willingness to sacrifice your needs for those of your spouse, and a steadfast commitment, regardless of what it costs, to keep that commitment. Marriage is not a 50-50 arrangement in which each one says, well, I'll put out 50% and you put out 50% and together it'll make 100%. Instead, it's a 100% giving of yourself to your partner without counting the cost, expecting nothing in return, no strings attached. When you do, you will find yourself in the joyful pursuit of trying to outgive each other, and you'll find that you end up getting more than you ever imagined possible. God designed marriage as a covenant relationship based on the unconditional giving of ourselves to each other. Covenant love is selfless, even as Christ pleased not himself. Covenant love serves even disciples. But most importantly, covenant love is sacrificial, even as Christ laid down his life for us. It is love on a cross. Without sacrifice, the giving up of the needs and desires of the self for the other, there can be no covenant. And to that, you and I, who are students of the Bible, need to be able to say a hearty amen. Cooper's remarks in Genesis 2 and verse 24 show that people who are prepared for marriage are prepared when they understand the marriage covenant. One woman has made a remark that all of us can echo, I believe, when she says in her feelings about marriage, I need that commitment. I want you to take the sum of everything that's you, turn it over, and endorse it to me. For deposit only, no turning back, no withdrawals forever. Now that may seem impossible, but Cooper adds this thought. At first glance, marriage seems to be made up of only two people, a husband and his wife. But for a marriage to be truly successful, three must be present: a husband, a wife, and God himself. Only God can enable us to love with covenant love. And that, too, we need to be able to say amen to. We are going to make more mistakes than we even want to imagine in our marriage, under the best of circumstances. We're going to say things that will hurt each other without even thinking about it, and sometimes hurt each other because we have thought about it, just not well enough. To have this God-blessed marriage, every man and woman must prepare him or herself by intentionally developing maturity enough to fully leave parents, and by studying God's Word to understand the marriage covenant. We have to understand that all we do in preparing ourselves is to prepare ourselves to be a child of God. And when that is our concern for ourselves, we're going to be the right kind of mate. And I would suggest to you that because we are preparing ourselves in that kind of way, because our thoughts are in that direction, because our thoughts are centered on God and God's will, we're going to find that kind of a mate. It's only by God's inspiration that in Ephesians chapter 5, 21 through 33, as Mike read to us earlier, that the relationship between a husband and a wife is compared to that of Christ and his church. It's the same unity. It's the same love and caring. It's the same effort to promote the other's highest well-being. It can be the same. It truly can be the same if both marriage partners are united with Jesus, if both marriage partners are Christians. But this same passage, Ephesians 5, 21 through 33, paints a vivid picture of the relationships in godly marriages. More importantly, it tells us of the sacrificially loving relationship that Jesus has with people who respond to him in love and in respect, to Christians who are his bride. Jesus gave himself up to cleanse from sins and to make holy and blameless everyone. Everyone who is willing to love and obey him. The beginning place of preparing for marriage and for life is maturely repenting of your sins and entering into a covenant relationship with Christ Jesus. If you haven't done that, I want to urge you to start your mature life now by turning your life over to him. And if we can be of any aid to you in that, we urge you to come forward right now as we stand and sing this song.